Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, and we just made it by the skin of our chin, just leaving the Philadelphia's WWDBAM 860 show. Marianne Costello, Sal Tartaglia, special guest, Darren Prince, mega guy to the stars, and we're just so blessed to have him. This is Wrestle Talk Across the Country podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, my sidekick in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Ralph Williams. Looks like we might be missing Smoke and Jim tonight. That's okay. We're here for 60 minutes. Breaking it down, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports podcast platforms. Where you subscribe to the podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic to Threes. Ralph, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And a lot to talk about on the road to Backlash.
Yes, Mark, there is on the road to Backlash. You can get a hold of me, RalphWilliams737@gmail.com, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and my YouTube channel as well. You can see all my shows on the YouTube channel. And you can also subscribe. Please subscribe. I only need 6 more to make 100. So please subscribe to this tonight. I'm here live in Pittsburgh from the DJ Fun Studios. Call DJ Fun today, 412-545-4317. And for all your DJ needs, graduation parties, weddings, and special events in the Pittsburgh and surrounding area here, 412-545-4317. Call DJ Fun today. It's a pleasure to be here tonight, Mark. We have a new sponsor. And I want to ask you a question, Mark. Do you know where the beef is?
It's not at Wendy's.
No, but I will tell you where the beef is at. It's at Hillcrest Farm in Richmond, Ohio. Grain hay beef. And I got to tell you, go up and see Caitlin and Taylor. Call them today, 740-346-5442. 740-632-2894. Let me explain something to everyone here. They have a ground beef box, $95 for 20 pounds of ground beef, Mark. And it's hay, fresh beef grain for right from the farm. So give them a call today. Again, their numbers, the two numbers are 740-346-5442, 740-632-2894. You can email them at Hillcrest Farm, Ohio, at gmail.com, or check out their website, www.hillcrestfarmsohio.com, and also on Facebook, Hillcrest Farm, Richmond, Ohio. That's where the beef is at. All right, Mark, I'm ready when you are.
Take it and run with it, brother. There's a lot to talk about in Backlash, and then we'll recap Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, we could do that, but first I have some wrestling news here that I want to go over. I got the proposed Backlash card. I already have the proposed card. It's not the definite, it's the proposed. So we're going to talk about that later on. But first, Riddle has made his return. If you watched Monday Night Raw, Riddle was back. He helped that Sami Zayn. He came out on Friday on SmackDown. So Riddle's back in the company. Eric Young is back with WWE from Impact Wrestling. His contract ran out. Impact didn't renew it. He's been with the company since November of last year, but the thing is they haven't found a place for him yet, and he's been helping out with some coaching. He will be back in the wrestling scene in the WWE. Cracks are starting to form in Damage Control. We'll talk about that later. And I got this definite tonight, Mark. Vince McMahon is out of creative. He is not involved in creative personally. Now, there is a rumor going around that he's doing it from Zoom, virtually from his house or from the offices up in Connecticut. He is not involved anywhere inside live at any stage of anything here right now. Kenny Omega has spoken to WWE. In case you're not aware, his contract runs out with AEW real soon. Let me get into some AEW and Impact news real quick. Sting made his return last night to confront MJF. He is going to go back to the Joker character. Edge is talking to AEW about coming to AEW. CM Punk is going to make his return coming up soon. Blackpool Combat Club got attacked last night by the Elite on Dynamite. The BCC attacked the Elite a week ago and attacked Hangman Page. Coming up with their own draft, AEW is coming up with their own draft, Mark, and they're going to start a third show on a Saturday. They're going to have a third show, and they're going to come up with their own draft. All right, Impact Wrestling. Josh Alexander had to relinquish the title because of an injury. Steve Maclin will battle Kushida for the title. Steve Maclin is supposedly going back to the WWE and will not win that match against Kushida. Now, there's one thing I did forget to tell you, Mark, before we get into this. Seth Rollins is upset with the WWE. Rumor has it that he had a conversation with Jon Moxley. Jon Moxley had a conversation with Tony Khan, and it's looking like Seth Rollins could be going to AEW as well. That's just a rumor. Wow. That's not a definite. Where do you want to get going here, Mark?
I want to talk about the Seth Rollins one. What is with that one?
Well, supposedly he's upset with WWE because of the way they've been booking him, putting him in the lower card and not putting him involved in a championship hunt. You know, he's been quite frustrated with them. And so I hear now he's talking to Jon Moxley and Rene Paquette. And supposedly they're going to they are still friends even from the days back with the Shield. And they've been talking, and it looks like Seth Rollins is interested in going to AEW.
Wow, I can't believe that. A big megastar like that leaving the WWE. That's a prominent figure that would be leaving the WWE in more ways than one, my friend.
Oh, absolutely, Mark. That would put a big dent in the WWE. Seth Rollins has been here for a while, and he's a he's been a prominent part of the WWE for this many years, including his time with the Shield, and his solo wrestling career has been tremendous. They need to find something to do with him, or else he's going to go. He's already made a comment on several Twitter pages that he's gonna go. He's frustrated with them about his booking and some stuff. He wants to be involved in the title picture again. They haven't put him involved in it. So I think if he wasn't this time around, I think he could beat Roman Reigns more than from before. But that's just my opinion, Mark.
Wow. More or less Riddle coming back. That's gonna be something. I mean, we see. I thought, you know, it would be Orton coming back before Riddle, but Riddle came back before Orton. Any thought to Riddle now coming back? He didn't really do a hell of a lot towards the tail end when he was taking a hiatus there. I think it was due to, you know, problems trying to get himself, orchestrated in the right way. But any thoughts to Riddle coming back before Orton?
Well, that's because Orton still hasn't been cleared to wrestle. He still has that back injury. Remember, he had some kind of fusion spine surgery or something not too long ago. He was supposed to be back for WrestleMania. That's not happening. His rehab has been a little slowed. So we're going to find out where Orton comes in. He was supposed to be back along with Riddle the Monday after WrestleMania, the Monday Night Raw, but that didn't happen. Did you notice, Mark, that this past Monday Night Raw, there was a little change in the card? Well, I understand Corey Graves announced that there was travel issues with a lot of the wrestlers getting around the country. So a lot of the wrestlers in the WWE live in Florida. You know, they're having issues in South Florida with some flooding and some other stuff. So, due to storms and bad weather. So that's probably the situation with that.
Wow, that's got to be the thing. And now when you look at Recap and Raw, your take looks like ever since we thought we were done with the Bloodline and Usos going against Owens and Sami Zayn, here came Riddle to even up the odds. And how far can this thing go? I mean, we know it's going to probably go to Backlash, but where is it going to go after that?
Well, I don't know, but you're right. And Backlash, I was just getting ready to give you the card, the proposed card. It's got Solo Sikoa and the Usos versus Riddle, Sami Zayn, and KO. That's going to happen supposedly at Backlash. And I think beyond that. It shouldn't go no further than that. I don't know. I was surprised the Bloodline even stayed together after WrestleMania. I was surprised Roman Reigns won the belt. There was a lot of surprises that happened at WrestleMania that I didn't expect to see coming. I thought the Judgment Day was going to go down. They're still kicking. So we're going to find out what happens here. I'd like to see somebody like Imperium take down Judgment Day. I'd like to see somebody, you know, some faction take them down and see what happens with this. I hear if Eric Young comes back and you got Nikki Cross, they might get that that one faction they had down in NXT back.
Yeah, that would be interesting in more ways than one. Man, oh, man. And as we, you know, looked at yesterday, Tampa was on a hiatus. Peter Blake celebrating a birthday with his mother there, rightfully so. Everybody needs that time away from the show. But as we look to this, I want to bring in Lance coming in from Pensacola, Florida. Basically says, guys, I missed you last night. I want to talk about the AEW. What about the Young Bucks? What's everything going on in AEW? WWE with McMahon running, it doesn't look like a good thing. Bad times ahead. Lance from Pensacola, Florida. Any thought to that? Thank you very much for responding. Ralph, I'll give it to you first.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen with the Young Bucks yet. Kenny Omega's contract runs out, and I think the Young Bucks contract runs out in the middle of the year. If that's the case, if Omega defects and he goes to the WWE, I see the Bucks going with him. Hangman Page, I don't know. Hangman Page has just joined the Elite. They now have four members. As you saw, I don't know if you saw last week's Dynamite, the Blackpool Combat Club decided to jump Hangman Page and to jump Don Callis. And they put them both in a hospital pretty much. So, you know, I'm not sure where that angle's going to go. But I think if Omega goes, I think Young Bucks will go. But, see, we have to talk about this, Mark, that we're failing to talk about. I hear Cody Rhodes wants out of the WWE now after what happened at WrestleMania. There's a bunch of rumors going around now that he wants out of the WWE.
Wow.
He wants out of his contract. There were certain things he was promised. What do you think of that, Mark?
Well, if somebody's promised something and they don't deliver on it, then you kind of look at it in a whole different light. And, yeah, I can understand. You know, he was built up to take the belt from Reigns. And just before that all happened, here came Vince McMahon and says, well, we're not going to go that route right now. So, yeah, no, I can definitely see something like that. And now he's frustrated and everything. And when somebody shows you cards like that, there's nothing to do but realize that, hey, you know what? Maybe it's not working here. And you start to lose guys like Cody Rhodes, who came over recently, and then you lose Seth Rollins. You know, two-thirds of your Shield is going to be out of there, and you only have Reigns. So I'm not a big fan of what McMahon's doing here. I wish, you know, it was left with Triple H and Stephanie. Any thoughts to that as we hit 250-something?
Yeah, we're up to 254. Stephanie resigned last year, Mark. She's no longer involved. Triple H is still involved. He still has the same position. But he has to there are certain things he has to finalize with Vince McMahon to get done. That was something I found out tonight from a really good source that Triple H does have a lot of power, and that this was not Vince McMahon's decision on this. This was Triple H's decision for the WrestleMania with the Roman Reigns Cody Rhodes match, because he wanted the story to carry on. Triple H said that had nothing to do with Vince McMahon. Vince wanted Cody Rhodes to be champ. He promised him he'd be champ. That's where it all stands there, Mark.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, as I give it back over to you, anything that you're looking at a backlash that's going to surprise you?
Okay, here's the proposed but backlash card. Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar. Bad Bunny teams up with Rey Mysterio versus Dominic Mysterio and Damian Priest, the Clown Show. All right, number one contenders match. Sheamus, the return of Shinsuke Nakamura, Bobby Lashley, and possibly either Matt Cardona who comes into the WWE, or Rick Boogs are going to be in this fatal four-way for the number one contender spot to go for the championship. Now, the draft's coming up. When the draft comes up, they're supposed to split the belts up. All of the tag team belts are supposed to get split. Raw and SmackDown. And then WWE title will come back. And it'll be at Raw. And the Universal title will stay at SmackDown. When they have the draft, anything can happen. If Roman Reigns goes to Raw, he'll be the Raw champion. If Roman Reigns stays on SmackDown based on the draft, I heard they're even having referees being shuffled around. Announcers could even get drafted. So, you know, the catering staff, I mean, everybody could be, even if you work in the front office, you're part of the draft. So it's going to be interesting. But that's that match. And then we spoke earlier about the KO Sami Riddle versus Usos and Solo Sikoa. Intercontinental match, Gunther versus Drew McIntyre. There's still rumors going around Drew wants out as well. We're going to find out if this match actually happens. Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan versus Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler for the women's tag team belts. Rhea Ripley versus Zelina Vega for the SmackDown women's title. And Becky Lynch versus Trish Stratus. Those are the matches, proposed matches for Backlash, Mark. What do you think of that card?
Well, that's going to be interesting. Rick Boogs coming back. And, you know, when I think of Boogs, I think of where is Shinsuke Nakamura? Where is that guy? And will they be a team again, or is somebody going to go heel over there, you think?
Well, that's interesting because Shinsuke, Mark, he's been in Japan, wrestling in New Japan and some other things. His contract ran out last year. I guess from what I'm seeing here, or from what I saw this proposed thing, Shinsuke's back. He was back for the Hall of Fame. So I'm imagining he's going to be back in the fold real soon.
Yeah, I think so. But will they be faces, or is somebody going to turn? Because I will tell you this. I believe when Randy Orton comes back, there's going to be a heel turn there. The big thing is, and Trish Stratus pulled a Brock Lesnar the other day.
Yeah.
Were you surprised?
No, I saw it coming. I could see some friction between her and Becky Lynch when they got into the ring. And I saw it at WrestleMania. It seems like Becky really didn't talk to her very much. She was more involved with Lita. And then when Lita got attacked on Monday Night Raw, I had a bad feeling it was coming from Trish because there were rumors going around Trish was going to turn heel if she came back. So she's back.
Wow.
She's heel. So there we are.
Well, both heels after WrestleMania, were you surprised? Brock Lesnar and Trish?
Yeah, I was surprised about that. But then again, I wasn't surprised. Brock Lesnar's been a heel before, more than he's been a babyface. And Trish, I kind of suspected that. She's looking to resurrect her career, even though she's a Hall of Famer. You know, put her as a heel is not a bad idea. You know, so we'll see where they go with this in creative.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, to say the least. As we look at the other things, we got Roman Reigns is still as the champ. I don't know who's going to be coming for him now that we've got Lesnar going against Cody Rhodes, so we're going to need a new challenger here. Are we going to see more of somebody else emerging in this thing? Or can we get some more singles matches with Owens going against them? I mean, Owens and Zayn are the tag teams champs, so they would concentrate on the Usos and now with Riddle over there and going even at the odds with Sikoa there. I can't see Reigns going that route and now being derailed by Cody Rhodes concentrating on Lesnar. Where do we see Roman Reigns headed? Is there a break? Is there somebody that's going to surface here? I, you know, you're bringing up the rumors now of maybe Seth Rollins going to AEW. I thought, can we see that again? We saw it once. What do we do with Roman Reigns now moving forward?
Here's my prediction, Mark. And usually my predictions are pretty decent, except for this one with WrestleMania where I said both the Bloodline and the Judgment Day were going to go down, and I was wrong. My prediction is it's going to be Kenny Omega if he comes to the WWE.
Wow.
Because
that's
if you're
going to
bring a guy, if you're going to bring a guy like Kenny Omega in, Mark, you got to give him something. You got to give a dog a bone. So if you're going to bring a big dog in, you got to give him the bone. And the bone is, oh yeah, you know. But this time, I hope they don't do to Omega what they did to Cody Rhodes. That's all I can say.
Yeah, that's the thing, and you know, and I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know if Kenny Omega is the guy to take the belt from him either. I mean, with this new, you know, team in place, the UFC WrestleMania, worth 21 point something billion, they're not going to pull that belt from Reigns because your SmackDown ratings might go, you know, down like a slippery slope there. So I'm going to say this guy's going to hold the belt till next year, and we'll see in Philadelphia who he's going to defend it against. Any thought to that? But that's my prediction.
Yeah, that could happen, Mark. He could hold the belt till next year. I don't want to see it happen. I'd like to see somebody else, do this. But it would be interesting to see if he carries it all the way to Philly next year. In fact, I was talking to my wife, and we might be making some plans to do that Philly thing.
Yeah, the tickets should be going on sale. I think they go on around August, if I'm not mistaken.
Hey, Mark, let me ask you a quick question. What'd you pay for your ticket down there in L.A.?
Oh, God. My buddies, I think it was $100-something, $50.
Now, that's not bad.
No?
That's not bad for a ticket for WrestleMania.
Well,
we had people comment on the show said they paid thousands of dollars for front row seats or something.
Wow.
I was like, whoa. Remember
well,
that?
Well, I'm trying to think what it will go in Philly. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that would be interesting.
I would say close to 200. I mean, it depends on if it's going to be a two-day event. Now, they've announced the one night in Philly.
Event.
Well, I only heard the one night in Philly, so it's going to be interesting.
Oh, so there's
I don't know, you know, yeah. But I just, you know, I'm basically saying Reigns going to hold it to WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia. That's my prediction. I don't think anybody's going to take it from him. And you're gonna have to bring in somebody. I'm telling you this, Ralph. It's going to have to be somebody like a CM Punk, a Rock, somebody in high stature that's going to take it from him. I don't think Kenny Omega's the guy. I really don't.
No, well, I'm just throwing his name out there, Mark, because – as far as big stars go, I don't see anybody else that could come into the company other than Kenny and be able to take that from him. But again, and Kenny Omega, you know, he's been everywhere. He's been in Japan. He's been with Impact. He's with ROH. He's been all over the place. The only place he hasn't been is in the WWE. The Young Bucks were back in the early 2000s. They were in the WWE once. They were under a different name, though. And, the nice thing is I had the privilege of meeting the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes when I used to do security for ROH here in Pittsburgh.
Wow, that'll be interesting. Let's get on to the Ricochet, Braun Strowman, that whole thing, the Viking Raiders, you know, the tag teams, Alpha Academy. We're starting to get Dalen out of Chelmsford, Mass, basically talking about what's going on with these guys? Nobody really pays attention because now you got the Usos and Owens and Zayn. What do you think of these other guys listening to your show live here? A 95. So he's Bluetoothing it on 95. Great, Dalen. Listen to the Wrestle Talk Across the Country podcast. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, Ralph Williams, minus Smoking Jim today, but Smoking Jim's probably listening, so he's part of it. But I'm not a big fan of the tag teams. Come on. Other than you watching the Usos and Owens and everything, I will tell you this. The tag team that I like, but I think they're going to break up, is the Street Profits. And I think Montez Ford will go solo. And hopefully they don't use him like they've used everybody else, the Ricochets and stuff. Hopefully he gets a push. but I really like Montez Ford. But the tag team's a joke. The Viking Raiders look like they haven't taken a bath in a year. Alpha Academy is terrible. When you look at, you know, some of these other guys, you know, it's just on and on. I will tell you this. If you're going to do pushes and stuff, start pushing Karrion Kross, L.A. Knight, you know, maybe Montez Ford. If they break up, this is what you need to push. And try to secure the Cody Rhodes and the Seth Rollins. That's what I would tell Vince McMahon.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Mark. Sad part is I love L.A. Knight. I liked him when he was Eli Drake back in the Impact days, when he was in ROH, and even when he was in NXT as L.A. Knight. Oh, man, he's a great wrestler. He's been around the world. He's not somebody that's a bum. I just don't get it. You know, you bring these guys in. See, this is one of the reasons why, Mark, Matt Cardona has said that he doesn't want to come to the WWE. Look at what they're doing to his wife, Chelsea Green. Look at what they're doing to her. They brought her back, and then, see, the thing with Matt Cardona is he was once the NWA champion. He was champion in Impact. Since he's left the WWE since 2016, he's done nothing but win championships all across the world. So, and then plus, even if he goes to AEW, he still has the freedom to go anywhere else and wrestle. He can wrestle at MLW, Memphis Wrestling, anywhere. WWE does not let you do that kind of stuff. And he's, according to what I understand, Matt Cardona said he's happy with what he's doing right now. And I don't think you're going to see him. Although, like I said, the proposed card for Backlash has him involved in that match. So we're going to find out.
Wow. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah,
we've got Kenneth from Arizona basically throwing us some sports questions. He goes, you guys, I missed your sports talk today. Watch out for my Arizona Diamondbacks. They're going to Florida now. We took care of the Dodgers and the Brewers. We're sitting pretty. Oh, yeah, Kenneth, the Arizona. A lot of people are talking about Arizona doing some damage in the National League. But I'll tell you one thing, and I just want to talk about this since he's bringing up sports. So the other day a buddy of mine was telling me, you know, the MLB package is great, Mark. You should hook it up and everything. I go, that thing's like $150. I don't have time to watch TV. You know, I'm doing shows and stuff like that. And he goes, no. For $3.99 a month, you can get every Major League Baseball audio plus the minor leagues. And I go, wow. So, you know, I've been catching the scores with the Pirates. Yeah. And, you know, and it's not like the Penguins where you can, you know, catch their radio on their website. The Pirates, you can't, so you got to subscribe to it. So, you know, for somebody that's 2,500 miles away, the only way you can catch the Pirate games is you got to, you know, check the scores, get on their thing, you know, basically game cast stuff. So I more or less decided to hook up the package, and I hooked it up Friday, the home opener, and you get to hear the Pirate home announcers. And if you want, you get the White Sox road announcers. And if it's on TV, you can get that plus the radio version of it. So I'm listening to the Pirate game, and yeah, I felt like I was in Pittsburgh again. And then I listened to it, you know, Saturday, and Sunday was Easter, and you can bring it with you when you're on the freeway or nothing, so it feels like you're driving through the Ford Pitt Tunnel, the Strip District, and everything. So, yeah, I've been listening to the Pirate games, and, yeah, for $3.99 a month, let me tell you, Ralph, you couldn't go to McDonald's and buy a Big Mac for that.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what, though? I get more satisfaction out of having that baseball package for $3.99 a month than paying all that for a Big Mac. You know what a Big Mac goes for up here? It's over $4 up here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And not only
over
that.
Over $4 for a Big Mac.
Yeah, well, you know, out here it's a little bit more. But you know what? $3.99 a month, you times that by six, and that would be a dinner going out, and you got the Pirates for, you know, a year. That's like being a season ticket holder. So you pick up their home and road games. It's just simply amazing. And I'll tell you one thing. I feel so blessed that my buddy told me about that, and I'm really excited. Talking about the Pirates, took Houston 2 out of 3. The walk-off on Tuesday was great. Came up in a whitewash yesterday, 7-0. They're on the road now, 4 in St. Louis, 3 in Colorado before they come back home, and they play the Reds, a little Friday night fireworks, and then the Dodgers come in. Any thought to the Pirates? Quick start, brother.
Yeah, hang on a minute, Mark. Real quick here before we go, I got one more thing I forgot to add. There's a rumored match coming up for SummerSlam. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
It's going to be Rey Mysterio versus Dominic Mysterio in a mask for hair match, which means if Rey loses, he has to take off his mask permanently for the rest of his career. And if Dom wins, he has to shave his head bald.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know where that's going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Get ready for a haircut.
Blue jackets, nothing. Start of the second.
Yeah, and let's since you just brought that up, and we'll talk about the Pirates here momentarily as Russell Talk is going, and we are just blowing up close to 400 now, 367, I believe. But I want to talk about the Penguins. First time in 16 years since Crosby was a rookie that they will not make the playoffs. They had held the mark number one in all four major sports. And the Capitals and Predators have gone out too, but they went out 8 straight years. I think the NHL's got to really look at this. And, you know, people might not be a big fan of the NBA, and I kind of look at it and say, well, there's a lot of things that have been changed in the NBA recently, and no defense, and the players are just for the players in more ways than one sometimes. But I do like their playing thing, and not to have Crosby and Ovechkin in the Eastern playoffs, I think it's a disservice. They should have had a play-in game. Not that I'm looking for excuses and anything like that. The Penguins rightfully should have blew the Blackhawks out of the building Tuesday night. They failed to do so after the Islanders had lost the night before to Washington. Pittsburgh had a golden opportunity to win that game and then win tonight. And then, you know, maybe they would have faced Boston, who knows, but they would have kept that playoff record intact. I think it's disappointing. I think you called it. I think Hextall's out of there. And I wouldn't be surprised if Moorhead's rolling Pittsburgh.
Yeah, here's the prediction right now is that tomorrow morning, first thing in the morning, after today's game, regardless, or tonight's game, which the Pens are up 1-0 right now, the end of one, they're just getting ready to start the second period now, face-off. Letang scored the first goal, or the goal. So anyway, the Penguins, it was said today by one of my fellow media colleagues who we know personally with 2 M's, he said he thinks that tomorrow, first thing tomorrow, that Ron Hextall and Brian Parker are going to be given the pink slips. I think that could happen. I'm not sure about Mike Sullivan yet, but I do know one thing. I have a guy who covers the Penguins for the Post-Gazette here. I have on my show, Matt Bensel. Matt told us, Smoking Jim and I on my Sports Corner show, on Tuesday nights at 8:30 on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter, that he said that he believes Mike Sullivan will be retained, but, and I say but, he's going to be given one more year to fix it, and if he doesn't, then they're going to fire him. But Hextall and Brian Parker are definitely going to have pink slips.
Well, let me, and I kind of agree with where you're going with that because I can kind of maybe see that. But now what about the players? And I've said this from the get-go. Tristan Jarry and Casey DeSmith are not going to be the guys that lead you to a Stanley Cup. I said, come out here, get the Pittsburgh native, John Gibson. He's been man in goal for the Ducks. The Ducks are floundering. Do what it takes to get John Gibson back into Pittsburgh, shore up the defense, and let the offense stay intact. Any thought to that? Because the Achilles heel this year, and you know, people can point to Burke and Hextall, and yeah, rightfully so, they're the ones that make the decisions. But it's been the goaltending, and I know that because I played goaltender for hockey years out here, And a goaltender is only as good as his defense, but you got to start stopping shots. If the defense is reputable and clearing their defensemen to the boards and everything, and you're not stopping shots, it falls on you. And I think it rightfully falls on the goaltending, and then it has to become a stronger defense. They got to get they got to get more of a defense there in Pittsburgh. So I wouldn't touch so much the offensive thing, because Crosby and Malkin and those Gensel, they can score with the best of them. It's falling on the goaltending and the defense there, and you got to bring in a high price guy that like you had for years in the Barrasos and the Flurries and the Murrays. These kind of guys remind me of the days of growing up with the Dunk Wilsons and the Michelle Dions. You got to get some goaltending in Pittsburgh, and you look at all these teams. You look at the Borowskis down there, in Florida over the years, and in the Luongos. You need goaltending. You see what the Bruins are doing. You're not going to go anywhere in the playoffs if you don't have good goaltending.
No, not at all, Mark. And I wanted to stop you for a minute there. Columbus just scored its 1-1 now, and get this, it was an easy goal. Jari wasn't even close to even trying for it. I mean, it just went right by him, So
what's your thoughts about what the Penguins need to do then?
Well, I'll tell you what they need to do. First of all, they got some old players that don't perform, like the Jeff Carters. They got a couple guys that are slow that they need to get out. Their special teams is horrible. Their lower lines are horrible. Their fourth line, their third line, some of that stuff is bad. The goaltending is terrible. The defensemen, they need to quit getting puck-handling defensemen and get some bruisers in there. Mike Sullivan doesn't like bruisers. But I think if Fenway and a new general manager in here that'll do some of this stuff, they'll start bringing in some bruisers and tell Mike Sullivan to adjust things. And if he doesn't like it, Mike Sullivan, then give him a pink slip. So, I mean, that's what Fenway needs to do. And I think that could happen. Because Mike Sullivan for years, we had Ryan Reeves here, one of the best defensemen in the league. He never used him. He was a healthy scratch. He didn't like him. Then we had a couple other big guys that were here. And now also Hextall, the trades he made to try to cover up his mistakes when he got that Greeland in here, and then he got that Kozloff, and he brought back Nick Bonino. Let me tell you something, Mark. Them three guys have done nothing. They've been hurt. They just came back a few games ago, all three of them. They've been hurt, and they've done nothing. And I was just watching that goal by Columbus, and Greeland just stood there and didn't do nothing with his stick. He didn't try to go after the puck.
Well, let me ask you, the Fenway group owns the Penguins now.
Right.
And the Penguins have sold out for a lot of years. I mean, when you look at the last few years, this team has been knocked out of the playoffs in the first round a few times. Second round, they really haven't done too much damage. We haven't seen them get to the third round since the Stanley Cup run. So it's more or less been, first round, go home. Whether it's the Rangers, the Islanders, the Canadians, and then they get to the second round and they go home again. But This is a team that I don't know if they're built for the playoffs. I really don't know if they're tired. They don't pull the trigger on getting some adequate players in there during the. And it used to be the Penguins would do that. We'd see that at the trade deadline they'd bring in a guy, the guy that Kunitz that scored the game winner against Ottawa on the way to the Stanley Cup. They go after those type of guys, the nucleus, bringing in a Kessel there, Kessel and stuff, and they've lacked that, and they stand pat. And I thought last year, and you don't have to live in Pittsburgh to follow this team, Ralph. I thought last year they had their best opportunity to do some damage. Crosby was out till December or something. Malkin didn't come back to January. I said, wow, these guys have fresh legs. And they got bounced by the Rangers after taking a 3-1 lead in that series. And they got bounced. And I thought that was the beginning of the end. It's carried over this year. They jumped out. They can't sustain it. And then they start, you know, letting teams like Florida, the Islanders, Buffalo hang around. I think this team is physically drained when March, you know, turns the calendar here. Any thought to that?
Well, that's why they've been getting out of the first round of playoffs, Mark, every year since, what, 17. They've been in the first round of playoffs and got bounced out because by the time March rolls around, they're out of gas. And it's been said for the last – since they won the two back-to-back Stanley Cups, it's been said that their team is slow. And
right.
They need to get some younger guys. And, you know, Jim Rutherford gave away the store of minor league players. And, you know, that happened. So, you know, he left the cupboard bare for Hextall, although Hextall was never a good GM to begin with. You know, talk to anybody in Philly. You and I both got friends in Philly. Hextall was a horrible GM there. And, I mean, you know, and it's just it's some of the decisions that were made, and I'm glad that the Fenway Group is taking this over. They have deep pockets, and they could bring in a coach and pay him, and they want to win. And, you know, this year we were down 2,000 seats per game short, 3,000 seats per game short, you know, down this year. So, I mean, people, you know, they don't want to go see a slow hockey team. And then the games that they're supposed to win, Mark, they keep losing. You know, and
right.
I've said that about the Pirates, too. You got to win the games you're supposed to win. I mean, it's as simple as that. You can't, you know, blow it. Mike Sullivan, too, since he's been coach, they have trouble winning back-to-back games. Every time, it's like they're tired in the second game after back-to-back
right.
games. And it's just ridiculous. So there's a lot to be said here. There's a lot of cleaning up to do. We're going to see what Fenway does. I can't wait to see tomorrow. Two pink slips are going to be handed out by morning. That's what Double M says. We'll see what if that happens.
Wow, that's what you got to really look at, Ralph. I thought they were drained, and now they're going to have an off season where they're going to have to get a goalie. I mean, that's what it's going to come down
yeah.
to. They're going to need a goalie.
Yeah, I don't know whose idea it was. I don't know if it was Hextall's. I don't know if it was upper management's idea before Fenway. What makes anyone think that Jari and DeSmith are going to be the answers to you going to the Stanley Cup? Jari's been hurt every year around the playoffs, every year since he's taken over after Matt Murray won. Okay? One thing I'll say about Matt Murray, he might have been hurt, but Matt Murray was a reliable goalie. He was always there. He always played well. He was Mike Sullivan's buddy. But then, you know, they couldn't afford to pay him, so they let him go. And then they moved Jari into that starting role. And then they brought in a couple guys like that Dubonnet or whatever his name, Dubelay. 600 people couldn't pronounce his name last year. And this year they brought in this Ogorski from Buffalo that they found on waivers. He's been in the minor league system, and he comes up once in a while to help out. But, you know, DeSmith is horrible, and they gave him $1 million for 1 year. So it really bothers me to no end. I would rather them take that $1 million and go get at least a decent goalie, a little more than a bum like the Smith. I mean, that was just horrible. And you're right, goaltending is a key ingredient to winning as well. But you have to have a good defense around them as well. And right now, we don't have that. We don't have either one of them. And we have to get it done. And we have to get some fast players in here. I don't think it's
yeah.
going to be done in one season. It's going to take about five.
No, exactly.
No question
on that.
Today.
No, and you're right, and that's what they're going to need. They're going to need to do that, and I think it's going to be a busy offseason in Pittsburgh, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. And then, plus, you got this Jeff Petrie. They brought him in last year. He hasn't done anything this year at all. They brought him in. He's been hurt. That Graylin, like I told you, he was just on the ice. Now I think he just got the penalty here. And, I mean, it's terrible what's going on here. He's out on the ice now, Petrie. Petrie hasn't done I forget who he played for a couple different teams. Did real good there. Now look at this now. The goalie held the puck, and instead of somebody attacking the goalie to get the puck from him from behind the goalie. They let him come around and put the puck out. Why didn't they go back behind the goalpost and crowd the goalie so that he was forced to put it out and put it in the net? Net was wide open. We were too slow.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You know? So, I mean, it's horrible, and I think it can be fixed, but it's, like I said, Rome wasn't built in a day. So, you know, we'll see what happens. We have a very impatient fan base here that's used to winning.
Okay, give us the lowdown, because let me ask you something in the comments. Steve from Corvallis, Oregon, how are you? He said, hey, guys, I'm getting ready for the USFL. When's the USFL coming out to the West Coast? I don't know that, Steve. I don't have an answer, and they rightfully should come out here. But the Maulers are in action this week, aren't they, brother?
Mark. The Maulers are playing this weekend. They have a new coach, Ray Horton. Ray Horton's been an assistant all around the NFL and in college. He was a good player when he played. I think he's going to bring a new toughness to this team. They got some new players. So the way I see this here is the Maulers are going to be better this year. I think they're going to win a few more games. But, you know, we'll see where they go. No Kirby Wilson this year. He stepped down for personal reasons because I think the new GM was going to fire him. And he stepped down. Mark, I have to say this. I'm not trying to be ignorant or I'm not trying to be mean to the USFL or any fan base. I'm no longer doing the Maulers anymore because the Maulers organization and the USFL will not return my emails and my phone calls. I wanted to talk to them about these talk shows, Mauler talk and about the podcast and stuff. Nothing. So I figure, why should I waste my time doing something like this?
You know, that's pretty sad. I mean, you know, I look at, you know, we did the Philly show today and we had Darren Prince on. And when you talk to people, it's funny, you know, that you want somebody to support a team. You want somebody to get the word out about your team. You got people to do the work, you know, and do whatever it takes and feel like they want to be a part of something. And yet you don't return phone calls. I think that's just plain ignorance. I really do. I mean, regardless if you don't have time to answer everybody, you know, you can still make time. If you can go get a cup of coffee and sit there with a Danish and play on your phone texting, I'm sure you can, you know, react to somebody that's sending you a text and saying, you know, hey, that's a good idea. Keep up the good work. Just, you know, to let the person know that, hey, you know what, we're busy, but we know what you're doing and we want to send our gratitude toward you. It's kind of like walking into a restaurant and nobody acknowledges you, and you sit there for 30 minutes and somebody's asking you, do you know what you want to eat? Well, we don't even have a menu. How do we know what we want to eat?
Yeah.
And that's a problem today. It really is. It's a big problem. I don't care how much money you got. There's no excuse for not communicating. There's no excuse for not acknowledging somebody. There's no excuse for any of that. It's all character and integrity. And you know what? I look at it and I say to myself, you're rightfully right, man. If somebody can't, after you,
you
know, put in that kind of work and they can't acknowledge you, it's like, come on, man. Just let the guy know what's going on here. You know, we didn't fall off the turnip truck and we're doing a sports show in a garage with strings and cans. This guy's a prominent guy. He does a lot of shows. Just let him know what's going on. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And you know, I get tired of some of this ignorance. Let me give you another example here, Mark. Today I was out. I had to take my mother to go get a new phone at the phone company, okay? And I went out to Crafton Ingram Shopping Center out in Crafton here to go follow up on some advertising for my podcast, okay, through a company that I have bought extensive meat packages off of called Fat Daddy Meats over the years, okay? And I went to go follow up to the guy, and the guy wasn't even there. And the guy said to me four times, do you want to buy a meat package? I said, I told you I already bought 2 weeks ago. This was before I even got the Silcrest Farm thing, right? And, you know, I bought you know, $400 worth of meat off to you. And he asked me four times, and four times I had to tell him, and I'm like, why are you continually asking me this when I'm not here to talk to you about this? I'm here to talk to your boss, who Travis, who seems to not be around some of these pop-up events and hasn't got back to me about advertising yet. I'm like, you know what? I don't need this from you, so I left. And if he calls me, he calls me. If he don't, he don't. And I don't care. You know, it's just that's where it's come to now, Mark.
Yeah, the people don't care. That's the problem, and it's sad, you know. Unbelievable.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Mark. Speaking of beef, how about Hillcrest Farm in Richmond, Ohio?
Let's give them some plugs, baby.
Yeah, ground beef box, $95, Mark, for 20 pounds of ground beef. Some guy said to me on Facebook, Ralph, that's not cheap at all. I said, what are you smoking? Don't you go to the store? The grocery store wants $6-7 a pound for ground meat. This $95 for 20 pounds of ground meat, that's $4 and some change a pound. Okay? You can't, and this is farm fresh ground meat. This is not that generic stuff that you buy in a tube or anything like that. Here, I'll tell you this other package deal. They got a variety box, $195. You get 4 pounds of burgers, 10 pounds of ground meat, 2 packs of filet mignon, two pot roasts, and 10 steaks for $195 farm fresh meat. So if anyone ever asks you where the beef is, you tell them it's in Richmond, Ohio at the Hillcrest Farm. Call them today, 740-346-5442, 740-632-2894. Right in the Ohio Valley area there, right near Steubenville, Ohio, 45-minute drive from Pittsburgh in most places. You can email
you brought up Steubenville, Ohio. Yesterday, I was blessed, and I've been trying to get this guy for a long time. So, you know, it comes down to persistency. If you're persistent in anything, and thank you to Michael McHenry, the Pittsburgh Pirates analysis on AT&T Sportsnet, did a nice interview with him the other day, and he was basically saying, I like you, Mancini. You got that raspy voice, and you're persistent. Well, I was persistent, not only him, I was definitely persistent with Raleigh Fingers, because I've always said, you know what, getting Dave Parker and Bill Madlock interviews were great. I wanted to get Raleigh Fingers, who I thought was one of the best relievers of all time. And God behold, I got him last night. Raleigh Fingers, man, simply amazing. He was from Steubenville, Ohio.
Dean Martin was from Steubenville, Ohio. Wild Cherry, the band Wild Cherry, played that funky music. They're from Steubenville, Ohio. So,
yep, Raleigh Fingers. The amazing. You know, I got him up there with the Goose Gossages, the Dennis Eckersleys, you know, the Trevor Hoffmans, Mariano Rivera. The list goes on with those guys. But, man, let me tell you, Raleigh Fingers at 76, you know, if he was never playing baseball, I could see him in the Barnum and Bailey Circus with that handlebar mustache, you know, rolling some rope for the Tigers to go through.
Yeah, I mean,
it was just amazing. And I asked him, I said to him, I said, hey, Raleigh, how did the Pirates not play you in the 70s? I mean, I know the Reds dethroned us a few times and the Dodgers took us out, but, man, oh, man, that would have been great to play you guys, the A's and the Pirates in the 70s. You know, that would have been something.
Hey, Mark, I got something for you here. I'm watching this Penguin game here, and it's in Columbus at the Nationwide Arena. Take a guess who's advertising.
That meat company.
No, the state of West Virginia.
Ah, Wheeling, West Virginia, where that caller thought you and your wife were doing whoopee in a hotel room.
Hey, if we were, we were.
Yeah. Well, that caller has nothing to do. He doesn't have nobody to roll around with. He's watching the movie, so he's just, you know, kind of daydreaming there. I can understand what that guy's thinking. Hey, let me ask you something.
You know what else?
You got the Penguins there going. You don't have the Pirates?
No, I can't. They're not on. The Pens are on the network that carries both of them.
Oh, I see.
So, Unless
they put a Penguin game on that doesn't. They put a Penguin game on that doesn't mean anything, instead of a Pirate game in the start of a four-game series in St. Louis. How crazy is that?
Yeah, that's.
Now, I will tell you, and let me, as we wind this thing down, I want to let everybody know the schedule here. Tomorrow, 10 o'clock your time in Pittsburgh, Tarek Brock and I will be talking second game of the four-game series there in St. Louis. At 11 o'clock your time in Pittsburgh, I'll be talking to Alex Berg as the Giants get ready to open up a three-gamer with the Detroit Tigers. And that game is on Apple TV tomorrow, so that'll be a night of interest. And then at 1:30 Pittsburgh time, sitting down with a Republican state senator, Lucy Velotsky. That should be an interesting one as we talk education and stuff, what's going on in today's society. So those three guests plus the XM Series show, and then we are back, an early version on Saturday due to covering stuff. Myself, and then you will be covering spring football. I'll probably be doing the Long Beach Grand Prix. They might be sending me out there, so I've got to figure out where I'm going. I know the Cubs and Dodgers on Sunday, but we will be on 9:20 in the morning, Pittsburgh time, 6:20 with the Crows and the Roosters and everything, L.A. time. So it'll be an early version on with the Eternal Bum podcast, and we will definitely wake you up with
morning.
A little. Yeah, we will definitely wake you up with a little NWO. So 6:20 in the morning in Los Angeles.
Hey, Mark, I just found the Pirates. It's on the same network that does the Pens on an alternate channel, and there is 0-0 in the third.
Yep, Pirates trying to make it, you know, they're above the Mendoza line. They'll keep it above the Mendoza line, a seven-game road trip before they come home, and they play four with the Reds and three with the Dodgers. I don't know why they do this. Why would you have the Dodgers come in on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the Reds come in for four when the Reds are in the same division? Bring the Reds in for three. Let the Dodgers spend four in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
But a lot of good things.
That's a good idea, Mark.
A lot of good things in Pittsburgh these days. Hey, as we wind this thing down, give me your rant of the week, and then let everybody know how they can get a hold of you.
Well, my rant for the week is this. Yesterday, the Pirates got blown out 7-0. You know what? I think the Pirates made the biggest mistake of their lives. They're paying Rich Hill $8 million for one season. He's had three starts, and his ERA is 9.82 in the Major League Baseball. You know what? Beyond Rich Hill, I think the Pirates are a good team. But the problem I have is J.D. Brubaker's out for the year, and that Burroughs pitcher that was supposed to be in the bullpen, a decent pitcher, he's out for the year. They're already shorthanded. I hope they can stay the course and win. That's my rant.
Well, I tell you this. On the Rich Hill, I like Rich Hill a lot. He pitched good yesterday. He just had no offensive support. The thing is, I know O'Neill Cruz is out till mid-August, and that's a big loss because he was my runner-up to Cody Bellinger for the MVP. But I will tell you this, I think what I'm seeing with the Pirates this year more than any other year, and I told this to Tarek and Michael McHenry, that they have the depth to absorb it. So they're going to be in a lot of games. The G-Man Choi's are there, the Santana's first base is solidified. I love Connor Joe. You know, when you look at these pickups and stuff, I think they're going to be right there. They're going to surprise people. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they get a playoff here. I don't know if they got enough to win the division, but if they can get in the playoffs, anything can happen. I will tell you this. This is a team that they know they got to keep their foot to the gas, and you play like, you're on the Mendoza line every day, build that record up over 500, so when you have a tailspin or something, you can absorb it. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you before we reconvene on Saturday morning, my brother.
RalphWilliams737@gmail.com. Also, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and also on YouTube. I need 6 more subscribers to make 100. You can see all of my shows on there as well. Watch all the archive versions of myself and Smoke and Jim Frazier on there as well. And please don't forget to give Hillcrest Farm a call today, 740-346-5442, 740-632-2894. $95, 20 pounds of ground beef. You can't beat it. Where's the beef, Mark?
Where is the beef? Well, the beef will be brought back on Saturday morning, 9:20 Pittsburgh time, 6:20 in the morning L.A. time. The Eternal Bum Show will be breaking down more bums. This time we'll go into the hockey version of bums. Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
we can't miss that one. The hockey bums across the thing. We might even throw some wrestlers in that, too. Till then, have a blessed one, guys. We love you. Talk to you Saturday morning. He's Ralph Williams. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, saying have a blessed night.
Have a good one. Be safe.